Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, that is our desire tonight, that you would open our eyes and allow us to see truth. To know your truth, to know your love, to know your mercy and grace. And Father, that we would long for that more than anything else in this world. Lord, we do love you, we praise you and honor you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Good evening. Hey, I got a couple announcements for you. First of all, Servant Appreciation Luncheon this Saturday. I am super excited for it. I hope that if you serve in any ministry, I think we have like 98 people signed up. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. That's this Saturday. Now, here's the thing. It's adults only. We don't have child care, and it's kind of, you know, it's for us adults to all just enjoy each other. So if you have children, you know, find a babysitter, please. That would be awesome. Don't forget to bring your mug and a coffee cup. No, just bring a cup, a cocoa cup, something like that, as a gift exchange. What's that? Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, so there you go. All right, so that's this Saturday at 1 o'clock, and it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a blast. Also, don't forget, men and women's Bible study is taking a break for the holidays. They will be back January 4th. Okay, they will never be back. Ah, yeah, no, I love that you're excited about the men and women's this. Hey, speak to the men and women's Bible study leaders. Don't boo me. Hey, you know what? You can have your own Bible study. Like, stop with the conviction already. Okay. So, yeah. So, hey, listen, I just want to encourage you one other thing. As if you don't know, it's just as a pastor, it is important that I remind you, please pray for our nation. Listen, I'm going to say something may not be popular. I don't care. It's true. We need President Trump to remain in office. We do. Listen, why? Why do I say that? Why do I say that? I say that for the millions of unborn babies. I say that for Israel. I say that for our church freedoms. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The nuclear family. Listen, I say that because I don't want prostitution legalized in the whole nation. Did you know that Kamala Harris said she wants to? I don't think that a 10-year-old should be allowed to make decisions based on their gender. When you're 10 years old, you don't know what you want. I don't think that we should give up our First and Second Amendment rights. In fact, I don't think we should give up the Constitution, period. And listen, you may be saying, why would you? Listen, if Biden gets in office, we're going to start losing those things. If you don't believe me, listen, I usually like when I can go up to someone and say, I told you so. But if Biden gets in office, that's the I told you so that I'm going to regret. I promise you. So please pray for our nation. I'm not trying to be political. Listen, if someone out there, some of you on Facebook, if you're a Democrat, Biden and Harris are not the Democratic Party. They're a socialist party. The Democratic Party, I wish we could get, you know, I can believe this, Bill Clinton over Biden. I would take Bill Clinton over Biden. I really would. Give me Obama. Give me Jimmy Carter. I just don't want this mess. And they are not hiding what their agenda is. And I don't care if someone says, Pastor, you shouldn't be political. Listen, I care about the people of America. I care about you as my family. So I care. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And pray for our church. We are not going to shut down. So let's open your Bible. Open your Bible to 2 Kings 17. I've entitled our message, The Lion's Share. And we are going to look at the foreign influx, ferocious invasion, feasible idolatry, and foolish inclination. Now, we are at a turning point for Israel of the North, the Northern tribe. Remember, in fact, let's do this. I know this is going to be a long introduction, but we've been away from 2 Kings for a while, and I know a lot of it's probably foggy in your brain, so do me a favor, back up to verse 1. And let's just, I'm going to give you kind of a quick overview just so we can get our palate back to where we are. Verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, the king of Judah, Hosea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria. And he reigned 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Surprise. Remember, all the northern tribes, kings, all of them, evil. Southern tribes of Judah, not so much. Some good ones in there. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Israel who were before him. So he's bad, but he's not as bad. He's a lesser of two evils. King Hosea is not as bad, but he's a coward. He really is. And because he's not as bad, he's going to do some foolish things. Now, Israel has been paying tribute to Assyria. Assyria has a new king, Shalmaneser. Shalmaneser is the new king of Assyria. So King Hosea, he says, hey, they got a new king. He wants to test the water. He wants to stop paying tribute. And so he tries. He tries to make an alliance with Egypt to fight against Assyria. Egypt didn't like Assyria. He didn't like paying money to Assyria. But there's obvious problem here. Why? Because he didn't seek God. He could have sought God. God, if he would have sought God, God would have given him victory over Assyria. Doesn't matter how powerful they are. But he's a coward. Now, the other problem, the fact that he didn't seek God, the other problem is, who did he seek? He sought Egypt. Egypt, the one that God freed the Jews from. How sad. And we'll see that a little more later. So King Shalmaneser of Assyria gets wind of his plot. He takes Hoshea captive. He takes Israel captive. In fact, when he takes Israel captive, he literally leads them through the desert with hooks in their mouth, big fishing hooks in their mouth, through their jaw, and leads them naked through the desert, barefooted, humiliating them, painful, and just to show that he has power. Now, he spreads them out throughout the Syrian nation. Why? Because if you spread them out, it's hard for them to unify. Now, here, at this point, the northern tribe of Israel is done. It's done. And this is a huge shift. Huge shift. Now, people would ask, wait, Pastor Randy, why would God allow this to happen? These are his people. Well, look at verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. They did fear other gods. They didn't fear God, the real living God. They feared the boogeyman, fake gods, invisible gods, that God that's sleeping under your bed. Now, remember this. When Israel was in Egypt, they were slaves. They were slaves. God proved that he was on Israel's side over and over and over again. The 10 plagues, pretty impressive. They were there. None of the plagues affected the Israelites, only the Egyptians, to get Pharaoh to release them. Then what did he do? He parted the sea. Not only did he part it for Israel, but he made it collapse upon Egypt's army. He gave them water in the desert from a rock. He gave them manna every day from the sky. Their shoes and their clothing did not wear out. Parents, how would you like that for your kids? He gave them military victory after victory. And then he led them into the land of what? Milk and honey. Beautiful, pristine land. Verse 8. And walked in the statute of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities from watchtowers to fortify the city. Listen, so what they do? They did things. Notice what it says here. The children of Israel did things secretly. Secretly. They thought it was secretly, right? Nothing is ever secret, kids. Nothing's secret. But why do people... Let's pray. No. Listen, why do people do things in secret? Why? Because they fear the opinions of man. Listen, if someone in sin didn't fear the opinions of man, they would do it openly. Right? When people don't fear getting drunk, they post it all over Facebook. I know some unsaved people that show pictures of their bong as they're smoking. Why? Because they don't fear the opinions of man. But the problem is, when you do it in secret, it means you don't fear the opinion of God. You do it in secret because you think, well, no man has seen this. But God's saying, yeah, well, what am I, chopped liver? I don't like chopped liver. But I love God. Folks, they were doing it in secret thinking God didn't see it. Let's verse 10. They set up for themselves sacred pillars, wooden images on every high hill, under every green tree. Now, every high hill, they turned into shrines under every green tree. Those were to Ashtoreth, and that was just basically sexual immorality to the nth degree. So up high, down low, it was all sin. And they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. So God gave them victory over these nations and said, wipe them out. They didn't wipe them out. And now they're doing the things that they shouldn't be doing. They're copying them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols from whom the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. So what did they do? Listen. They returned to what God had saved them from. God saved them from Egypt. What did he do? What did the king of Israel do? He went back to Egypt to make a deal. Jump down to verse 14. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their neck like the necks of their father who did not believe in the Lord their God. Now, remember this. Why does he say they stiffen their neck? Because at this time, remember I told you before that the major prophets, there's some major prophets walking around. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jonah, they're all walking around prophesying, repent, get your life right, get right. And they were like, no, we're not going to listen to you. Jump down to verse 16. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves molten images two calves. Remember where the two calves from come from? Moses is up on the Mount Sinai meeting with God. They're like, oh, where's Moses? He ain't coming back. Well, you know what? Let's make our own God. And they did horrible things before that God. Two calves represent Jehovah. Now, understand, when they make these molded images, the two calves, that was to represent Jehovah God. Jehovah God is not a calf. He may be a lamb of God, but they don't know that now. They made him into a cow. God is not a cow. There's so much. I'm going to stop. Let's go. Two calves, amen, wooden images, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven. What a contradiction. They worshiped all the hosts of heaven, but they served Baal. Wow. You know what that says? In the church, people can come and stand in the church and worship the God of heaven and still serve their sin. That's what they were doing. Verse 17. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. And I've explained to you, horrible, I'm not going to do it. But you can go back and look at previous, actually look at that study that I did on that. And it's horrific. Basically what's happening in America with all the abortions. And as I've told you before, if you take all the abortions that have happened just within the last 100 years or so, more babies have died than all the wars combined that America has fought. Civil War, First World War, Second World War, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm. All of them combined in a fraction of the time. How sad. He says, cause your son and daughters to pass through the fire. Practice witchcraft and soothsaying. By the way, the King James, instead of soothsaying, you know what it says there? It says enchantments. In other words, potions, drugs. Yeah. And sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to what? Anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel. Watch this. And removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Now, that seems harsh, right? No. They removed God from their sight, so God said, fine, I will remove you from my sight. He's just giving them what they wanted. That's why we need to pray for America. Listen, we removed the Ten Commandments from our courts, and we let them. They've removed prayer from our schools, and we let them. Now they want to remove praise from our churches. Will we let them? Amen. We need to pray. Understand, it is wonderful to be sanctified by God's love, mercy, and grace. You know that's wonderful? Sanctified. What is that? That's the process of being made holy. Holy is set apart. So sanctified is the process of being set apart to God. And it's wonderful when we are set apart to God because of his love, his mercy, and grace. Listen, that is wonderful. But we should also be sanctified by God by his judgment and his wrath. Why? Well, because listen, when I recognize that his judgment and wrath will be upon my life, it causes me to go, I don't want to be on the bad side of God. I want to be on the right side of God. I want to do things God's way. His love, his mercy, his grace, his righteous anger, his righteous judgment are all good schoolmasters for sanctification, for being made holy. So listen, is God loving and kind and merciful and good? Oh, absolutely. But he also gets angry when we are stiff-necked. He also gets angry and brings his judgment when we are rebellious. And we'll talk about that a little more. So that kind of gets us up to speed. That's what the children of Israel were doing. The children of Israel in the north have now been taken captive. They've lost the land of milk and honey. And now they're in the land. Watch this. They're in the land of the people who worshiped the gods that they were worshiping instead of God. So what did God do? He gave them what they wanted. Now, here in 2 Kings, starting in verse 24 through 41, I've entitled it, what? The lion's share. You know what that means? The lion's share means wanting the largest part. It means selfishness and greediness. Kind of like Satan. Satan wanted the lion's share. He said, I will be like the Most High God. In other words, he says, listen, I'm going to do what I want. I'm about me. Selfish, greedy. And we're going to see that that's what puts Israel in the position they're in, is because, yeah, they had God. They had made the two calves under Jehovah God, but they also wanted the other thing too. They wanted the drugs and the sex and the rock and roll and the cell phones that go off in the middle of service. I'm teasing. Don't feel bad. My cell phone has gone off during service too, so. But if you could, please silence your cell phone. So here we are at 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 24. I know it's a long introduction, but we really needed to know what was going on. So that's what we have going on. Let's look at the foreign influx in verse 24. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Ava, Hamath, Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. They took possession of Samaria. By the way, Samaria is the capital, and dwelt in its cities. Once you hold the capital, like if anyone ever invaded America, once you hold Washington, D.C., you got control. That means you've dominated. If someone has control of Washington, D.C., that's domination. It just goes down from there. So that's what it's saying. They took possession of Samaria, the capital. Now they dwell in the cities. So your question has to be, okay, so what is he doing here? Well, here's what he did. He took Israel out. He led them by hooks. He took them out. But then what does he do? He brought in a bunch of his own people. Why? Well, remember what the land is like. The land is like flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful. Puts California to shame. Listen, I love California. I don't like its politics. If I could live there, I would. It used to be my stomping ground. Now, if I go there, I stomp the ground. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what that meant, but I'm glad you laughed. All right. Strategically, the idea was to infiltrate and influence. That's what you want to do. See, those indigenous, namely any Jews that would be remaining, or any Jews from the south that would go up there, any Jews around would now be weaved into the Assyrian culture. See, first the Jews were weaving in the culture. Now the Assyrians are weaving in the culture. God gave them what they wanted. You know what's interesting? Here's what's interesting. Here we have a pagan king. He understands this concept. If you interweave, they'll lose their heritage. They'll lose their God. They'll lose their righteousness. A pagan king knows that. Yet, unbelievers will rush headlong into an ungodly relationship and be unevenly yoked. I see it happen all the time. Love, people run into love, unequally yoked. People will run into business as a Christian with an unbeliever. People will run into a living situation. Hey, I'm roommating. Great. But the person I'm roommating with isn't saved. Yikes. Why? Listen, even the pagan world knows you. If you infiltrate, you can influence. Yet Christians are like, don't do. What are you doing? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because I like the way it's worded. Do not, listen to this, do not team up with those who are unbelievers. This is that, do not be unequally yoked. But here in the New Living, it says, don't team up. I like that. Why? Because it means anything. It means love, business, living conditions? You can't. Why? And he tells us why. Do not team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Wow. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And you say, but Pastor Randy, man, well, first of all, I love the way he asks these questions, and they're all saying the same question, just worded differently. Well, what can righteousness be partnered with wickedness? What light with darkness? Christ and the devil, believer and an unbeliever, God's temple and idols. He's like, just in case you don't understand what I'm saying, let me make it really clear to you. And Christians will still go, okay. And he still walk right into that relationship. Okie doke. It's like, I read it. It's good. No, stop it. And you go, wait, Pastor Ryan, that's really harsh, verse 15. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Are you calling that unbeliever the devil? No. God is. No. No, listen, before you and I were saved, whose team were we on? I wasn't on God's team, that's for sure. Well, that's the point. That's the point of this. So if you're getting into a relationship with someone who is not saved, can I say, would you please pray before you do that? Because I think if you pray and listen, God's going to tell you, what are you doing? It's not going to end up well. I've never seen it end up well. But Pastor Randy, he's so cute. She's so fine. He's so fine. She's so fine. I don't care. Which is finer, them or God? Them are the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, New King James. Do not be deceived. I like what he says here. What? Do not be deceived. Why? Because too many are deceived. But they're so cute. It's like, he's got a lot of money. We invest together. It's like, stop it. I need a roommate to help my rent. Stop it. Wait for God. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You can have good habits, but you get evil company and pretty soon those habits fly out the door. They really do. Let me read from the Contemporary English Version. I love, listen to the wording on the Contemporary, the CEV. Do not fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you. That's to the point. It's true. Bad love affairs will destroy you. Listen, it's always bad for both. Let's talk about a love affair. Here's this gal. Here's this guy. One of them's a Christian. The other one's not. They fall in love. They both fall away. One gets pregnant, usually it's the girl. Usually. The relationship doesn't work out. The guy goes on his merry way, the girl has the baby, but guess what? The guy now has 18 years of his check being garnished. The girl has to raise the boy or girl by herself until she finds another relationship, and the child feels neglected and unloved. Listen, that's a horrible situation. You need Christ in the middle of your relationship. You need Christ in the middle of your business. You need Christ in your home when you roommate. And parents, your child grows up and becomes an adult, and all of a sudden they hit hard times and they need somewhere to live. Here's, if any of my kids said, Dad, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Come and live. But you're going to church. But I got a headache today. Good, you're going to have a headache in church. How about that? I got an upset stomach. We have a restroom. Knock yourself out. Oh, I don't want to go. Then you don't need my help that bad, do you? Why? Because I don't want to be unequally yoked. I want to influence them, not them influencing me. Oh, little Johnny has a headache. I better stay home and take care of them this Sunday. Pastor, I couldn't make it. Little Johnny was sick. I had to give him some soup. Okay, you give him a soup. Don't cry to God when you miss out on the blessing. Church doesn't save you. But God said, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You can either obey that or ignore it. You can stiff neck. Well, I'll do it when I want. Well, good for you. Okay, let's move on. let's look at the ferocious invasion, verse 25 and 26. Listen, well, here's the problem. We all want the lion's share. We want to have our cake and eat it too. I want to be a Christian, but do it my own way. Let's look at the ferocious invasion in verse 25 and 26. And it was so, at the beginning of their dwelling there, that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. Now, I don't think this was like two lions. By the way, have you ever seen that movie, The Ghost in the Darkness? Oh, man. It's a great movie and it's a true story about some lions that terrorized a village. And they were smart lions. I mean, it almost seemed demonic. And it may have been, I don't know. But it's a true story. And they have the lions, stuffed lions in like New York or somewhere, they have them. The Ghost in the Darkness, that's what they call them. Anyways, so here you have these people. They come into the land. It's a large section of land, and there's lions. I believe it was many lions. I believe it was supernatural. Why? Let's look at verse 26. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in their cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. They're like, king, you know, you brought us, you know, from Assyria and you spread us out over the Hebrew nations, their land. It's a beautiful land. It's milk and honey everywhere. But there's something wrong. There's these lions and they're like eating us, and that's not fun. I thought I'd enjoy it. I'm not. So notice he says here, they don't know the rituals of the God of the land. They believed that every territory had gods. So you go to this territory, it has a god. You go to the, if that's true, with all the wind we've had, I think the god of Bullhead is angry. I'm joking. I'm sorry. There is no god of Bullhead. There's only our God. And he's not angry. He's cooling us off for the next summer. I don't know. It's been crazy wind. He's like, you've been hot. Here, cool you off. Okay, but anyway, so they believed that there were gods in each territory, and you had to know how to appease them. Therefore, he has sent lions among them, and indeed, they are killing them, because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. We don't know the Jewish God. We don't know how to please him. We don't know, you know, if we're to kill some babies, you know, or go have sex under some trees with a bunch of people. We don't know what to do. Oh, my gosh. Listen, our God is not a God of rituals. You understand that? God is not about rituals. Listen, don't come to church because you're trying to appease the God with rituals. Don't read your Bible because you're trying to appease God and make him, keep him from getting angry. Don't pray to appease him. Pray, worship, serve, come to church because you love him. That's the key. But here they're thinking, we don't know the rituals. We don't know if we're to bow, kneel. What are we supposed to do? How do you do this? Light a candle? Go in a box, confess our sins. We don't know what ritual we're supposed to do. What's sad is it doesn't matter how many rituals they learn, they'll never please God if they don't fall in love with him. See, that's what they want. They want the lion's share. They want to hang on to their life and just add some other god and some rituals and still do what they want to do and just have the lions go away. They want the lion's share, but they don't want to be the lion's share. It's like, get the lion away. Okay, so here we go. The king now has a feasible idea. Verse 27 through 33. Then the king of Assyria commanded them, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the god of the land. Now listen, that's a feasible idea, isn't it? It's like, hey, yeah, just bring in the priest and let them teach them the ways of the God, Jehovah God, and everything will be fine. What's the problem? Here's the problem. The priests weren't worshiping God in the first place properly, otherwise they wouldn't be captive right now. That's like the blind leading the blind. There won't be any conviction of love or obedience. They'll just be, take a lamb, slit its throat, drain the blood, you know, walk around three times, you know, three Hail Marys and a rosary, and you're good. God go with you. Stop it. None of those rituals work. But there's a subtle lesson here, folks. There's a subtle lesson for you and I to hang on our belt and take away with us. What is that? Who do you run to for help? Who do you run to? You see, it seems that this guy goes, you know what? They go to the king. They got a lion. Lions, plural. I believe it was a lot, enough for them to say, this is not natural. This is supernatural amount of lions. They're munching down on the people. We need to quit being Happy Meals, okay? I don't want to be the lion's share. So they go for advice to the king, who goes to for advice from a priest. Listen, one person says this. It seems that bad advice that's fun will always be better known than good advice that's dull, no matter how useless the fun advice is. You see, good advice sometimes goes, oh, that's no fun. Bad advice says, hey, party hardy, do whatever you want, enjoy yourself. Hey, just do some rituals, but don't change your life. Don't inconvenience your life with serving God and loving him the way he prescribed. Now do your own thing. Huh. Who do you run to for advice? Because someone may give you what you think is good advice, which is easy to palate, and you go, that wasn't bad, as opposed to going to the right person who gives you the right advice, and you go, ooh, that was tough. When you have an issue, who do you run to? Aunt Betty? Listen, I know Aunt Betty. She's a trusted relative, but she's a half-hearted believer. Yikes. Oh, sure, Jimmy Johnny's a good friend, but he is a questionable Christian. Is that who you run to for your advice or when you have problems? No wonder you can't seem to get out of your problem. Huh. We must run to the one who will tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Not only that, brothers and sisters, can I advise you as Christians that you pray for discernment? You want to know what's missing in the church today? And it blows my mind. Listen, I'm not a brilliant person. I'm not dumb, but I'm not brilliant. And I watch people just take all this ungodly thoughts and ideas and just choke them down. And I'm like, where do you find that? Where do you find those thoughts, those ideas, those morals? Where do you find that in Scripture? We need to pray for God to give us biblical discernment. Understand this. Listen, if we can tell the difference between good advice and bad advice, then we won't need any advice. Do you realize that? Pray that God give you discernment. Discernment for the decisions you're going to make. Oh, but she's so cute. He's so cute. They're good business people. I need a roommate. Oh, stop it. Ask for God to give you advice. Listen, stop looking for the lion's share before you become the lion's share. Remember, the enemy, our adversary, roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. You, if you make the wrong decisions, if you take the wrong advice, you could become the lion's share. Not a yummy thing. Verse 28. Then one of the priests, whom they had carried away to Samaria, came and dwelled in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Not love the Lord. Not obey the Lord. But fear the Lord. Now, also, we get a really good clue about this guy. Where did he go? Bethel. You go, okay, so listen. Bethel was the headquarters for the two calves that they made. That's where they started that. It was in Bethel. He goes, yeah, okay, can I go to Bethel? I went there. You know, the party was hearty there. And it looked good. It looked really religious. But man, we had all that sin too. It's awesome. So that's what he's doing. He's playing both sides. Yes, I'll give them advice on how to fear Jehovah God in Bethel, where we have the two calves under Jehovah God, which are an abomination in his sight. And we have the groves and the high places, and I'll enjoy that too. Wow. We see his heart. Even after being taken captive, he hasn't repented. He's going, hey, I'll go back, yeah. Verse 29. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines on the high places, which are in which the Samaritans had made every nation in the cities where they dwelt. They made these idols of the Assyrian gods. And now they are captive to the Assyrians. And they continue making gods to the Assyrian God. And they're not crying out to God at all. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. See, when people don't want to seek God the way God wants, God goes, fine, have it your way. God freed Israel. He freed them. He freed them from being slaves. And instead of worshiping the God who freed them, they went back to the gods who enslaved them. Who would do that? We would. Why? Because we want the lion share. Satan goes, hey, I got a share for you. We're like, oh, you're the roaring lion who wants to devour my life. He goes, yeah. They go, oh, give me some. Wow. Verse 30. Pardon me if I mess some of these names up. The men of Babylon made Sukkoth, Benoth, and the men of Kut made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Shimea, and the Evites made Nibas and Tartak. And all these weird people, they made a bunch of gods. Okay, I'm not going to even try. My tongue, as soon as, listen, I practice, I write these out phonetically. I get up here in front of you and I go, it's all right. These are Babylon gods, Babylonian gods. They have a bunch of them. They had them for every situation, every land, everything. And by the way, it just blows my mind when churches do the same thing. There's a demon of tobacco. There's a demon of lust. There's a demon of laziness. There's a demon of this. There's a demon of that. Now, how about we want the lion's share? How about we are greedy and selfish and we want to indulge ourselves in sin? How about that? Or you get, you know, pray to the saint of this and the saint of that. Each saint has his own category. Why? How about we pray to Jesus that we die to ourselves and quit following after the lion who wants to devour us? Verse 32. Look. So what did the priest teach him? To fear the Lord. Not to love him, not to obey him. Just fear him. Yeah, he sent those lions. So they feared the Lord. And from every class, they appointed for themselves priests in the high places who sacrificed for them in the shrines and in the high places. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods. See that? They served what kind of gods? Their own gods. And you go, wow, that's crazy. Do you realize in the church today, so many people do that? They serve their own God. It's not the God of the Bible. Why? Because they're doing their own thing. They ain't following the Bible. It's like, where'd you read that? Oh, I didn't. That's just what I want to do. Oh, good for you. But that's not our, you got your own God. No, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. And he looks just like you. What you like, my God likes. What you don't want to do, my God doesn't want me to do. That's sad. That's sad. So they're looking, they're spending, you know, here's the sad part. Like if it isn't all sad. They're doing these motions, these things, they're spending energy and activity, yet it's frivolous and empty. Wow. They feared the Lord, yet served their own God, according to the rituals of the nation from among whom they were carried away. Notice it says they feared God. Remember James chapter 2, verse 19? I quote it all the time. It's one of those verses that you should hang on your heart because it's so important that we know the difference between fearing God and loving him. In James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, you believe there's one God. Everyone here believes there's one God. Everyone on Facebook, you're watching because you believe there's one God. But you do well, and you do well. But then it says, even demons believe and tremble. In other words, demons tremble, they fear God, but they don't obey. They're busy doing their own thing until they're confronted with God and they're like, oh God, oh God. And then God lets them go and they're like, aha, and they're off doing their thing. That's what some people in the church do. It's like, where do you find that garbage? Where do you find that thought? It's what I've always done. Well, good for you. To go your own way. Don't obey. Too many want to go their own way. Too many obey only when it's convenient. If it doesn't rattle their cage. Well, if you don't rattle the cage, then the lion's out of the cage. And he will have his share. 1 Samuel 15:23 says this. In 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion, that means not being obedient to God, is as the sin of witchcraft. If I went up to you and said, hey, will you practice witchcraft? Oh, never me. Do you obey God? Well, when it's convenient. That's the same as witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Why is stubbornness? Because when you and I are stubborn to not do things God's way, we've made ourselves God. We made a God that looks like us. That's the idea here. And watch this. He takes it even further. Watch this. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. That's what he's done to them. He says, you rejected me. You're worshiping idols. Guess what? You're in captivity. I remove you from my sight. Go ahead. Go. He's going to say that. He says that. You remove me, I remove you. I blessed you, you don't care. Thus, if we remove God from our lives, God will remove us from his oversight and his blessings. That's why we have to pray for America. And we need to stop being silent and letting them take our rights as Christians, as believers in Christ. Or before long, the doors will have locks on them and we'll be locked and the word won't go out because we'll be in chains and they'll put us in solitude confinement so that we can't share the gospel. You think that Satan's going to play fair? We'll become the lion's share. Let's look at the foolish inclination. How are we doing? Okay, I think I'll make it. Verse 34 through 41. To this day. So they're in captivity. Someone else is living in their land. Imagine this. You're a slave to somebody and someone else is living in your house. And you're like, okay. You're mistreated, maybe beaten. And you're like, that's okay as long as I've got my sin. Wow. To this day, they continued practicing former rituals. They do not fear the Lord. Because listen, if you truly fear the Lord, you go, Lord, I don't want your judgment. Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. Nor do they follow their statutes or ordinances or the law and commandment which the Lord had given, which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods or bow down to them or serve them nor sacrifice to them. In other words, even after being incarcerated, they're still continuing in sin. I've seen in ministry, listen, I love serving the Lord. I do. I love it. And there is nothing else on this planet that I was created to do since I've been saved, is to serve him. But I have seen some things that would break your heart. I've seen people lose their job, lose their spouse, lose their family and their friends, even lose their health in order to hang on to their sin. Why? Because that sin is their God, and their God is that sin. And the real God is saying, oh man, if you would just come to me, I have blessings for you. But people, what does everyone want? There was a song by Tears for Fears that everyone wants to rule the world. And you go, oh, no, not me. No, that's because you know you have no chance of that. But if someone said, here, I'll make you ruler of the world, we'd be, yeah. Well, and most of us nobly think of the things I could change for good and the poor I could feed and all. But you'd still do it. I know I would. Why? Because we all want the lion's share. We do. We want more. We want more. Should we want more of the Lord instead of the world? Verse 36. But the Lord who brought you out of the land. Now God's replaying this to them and to us. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear. Watch this. Him you shall worship. See, you can fear God all day long, but if you're not worshiping and you go, what is worship? Worship is this. Submission, obedience, prayer where it's communion with God, reading his word because you love the Lord and want to know what he wants you to do and how he wants you to respond. These are all acts of worship. And you can only truly worship him in spirit and in truth. So that means when I pray, I don't pray to be seen or heard. I pray because I know God is listening and I want him to, and I want to also hear from him, by the way. It's not just monologue, it's dialogue, which means as I'm giving him my laundry list, he's telling me, yes, but I have things for you to do. No, just take the list. I got, no, That's not worship. So he says, you shall fear the Lord. And then he says, and you shall worship. And to him you shall offer sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that costs you something. See, it's not sacrifice to give God our leftovers. That's not sacrifice. That's like, hey, it's convenient. You can have this, Lord. How you feel? You like that? Pretty good? Lucky you. No. Sacrifice is like when it hurts. See, Jesus, he sacrificed, right? He gave his all to the point of hurt, pain. The greater it cost you, the more beautiful the sacrifice. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about your time, your treasure, your talents, your prayer life, your obedience. All of that is sacrifice. I want to do this. God wants me to do that. I'll obey God. That's sacrifice. So he says, you shall fear him. You shall worship him. And him you shall offer sacrifice. To him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinance and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall, watch this, be careful to observe today. No, forever. Why is it that so often it seems like in my life, your life, and everyone's life, that we are careful to observe on Sunday, God's word. On Wednesday, God's word. When people are watching, God's word. Shouldn't we observe? And I love the fact that he says, be careful to observe. And then I love this. You shall not fear other gods. Should not fear other gods. What other gods? All the other gods. Any other god. Don't fear them. 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Who is perfect love? God. There's no fear in love. So when I love God and he loves me, what a happy family. No, stop it. When I love God and he loves me, I know he's got my back. And he don't fear anything. And if he's got my back, then we shouldn't fear anything. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, not torture, torment. Why? When I am fearful, guess who's being tormented? Me. Me. I torment myself with fear of what? Other gods. Well, I'm not fearing other gods. I'm fearing how I'm going to pay my rent. Well, now your rent is your God. So, no, it isn't. It's my rent. No, God will take care of you. He will. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now notice he says, you shall not fear other gods. Here's another reason why we shouldn't fear other gods. You want to know why? Because they're not real. How many of you here fear the chupacabra? Any of you go to sleep at night? Dear Lord, keep the chupacabra away from my house. No! Any of you fear Bigfoot? Huh? Santa Claus? Think about it. You really should. If he were real, I'd kind of... Some big fat dude coming down your chimney, he can squeeze down. He's got reindeer that fly. I mean, wears a red suit all the time. Woo! Likes little kids sitting on his lap. That guy needs to go to jail. He's not real. Chupacabra, not real. Bigfoot, not real. These things aren't real. So we don't fear them. But so often, imaginary fears take grip and we torment ourselves. Verse 38. And the covenant, which I make covenant. When God makes a covenant, does God break his promises? No. And listen, a covenant is beyond a contract. It's beyond a promise. And the covenant that I made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear. He will deliver you out of the hand of some of your enemies. No, all of your enemies. When? When you worship him, trust him, obey him, love him. He loves you. Victory after victory. However, they did not obey. Oh, gosh. And we go, God, that's terrible. And God goes, I know, Randy, so when are you going to start obeying? However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. Listen, it's what I always have done. It's who I've always been. Well, I thought you were a new creature in Christ. Back off, Pastor. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Here's horrible. Also, their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. Don't close your mind. Don't close your heart. What are you passing on to the next generation? Obedience to God, even when it's inconvenient? Serving him in spirit and in truth? A strength and not a fear in you? Are you passing on God's glory? Are you passing on empty idols, sin, and destruction? Oh, when you and I pass on idols, fears, other things other than God, you know what? All of those things encapsulate. They are all in the name of wants, greeds, and self-gratification. Now, as I said earlier, everybody wants the lion's share. Everyone wants the lion's share. And I'm going to say something after this message, you're going to say, what? We should want the lion's share. Pastor Ryan, what do you mean? You just said we shouldn't want. Yes, yes. We should want the lion's share, the share from the lion of the tribe of Judah. We should want what he wants. That's what we should want. Because he promises it. His share is a hope and a future and not of evil. In other words, we seek the lion of the tribe of Judah. We seek his share. It's ultimate victory in Christ. And by the way, he is worth the worship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible love, your promises. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that I would not be as foolish as the Israelites to do my own thing and worship my own way, fear you, yet not worship you. Fear you, but not serve you. Fear you, but not obey you. Oh, God. Thank you for your mercy and your patience. But Lord, I'm reminded of your word. God, you said that you would not strive with a man or men forever. There comes a time when you get impatient and you send the lions that devour. God, may we put you in the forefront of our hearts. May we die to our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own comforts. Lord, that's what true sacrifice is. Sacrifice Randy to receive Christ. Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our hearts and make the adjustments that we need in order to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we adore you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, let's stand and worship.